Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh, baby, the start of free agency. That's right. March 13th, we record this on. This is the first day of the legal tampering period, quote-unquote. So we dive in all that. The Lions making some moves, whether you disagree or agree or disagree with them. We'll be talking about all that on the podcast. So first day, legal tampering, free agency. We have a lot more going forward with free agency and the draft, of course. So sit back, relax. Grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, baby, and it is March 13th, which means today was the beginning of the NFL negotiating window for free agents, and there was a lot of news that dropped. The Lions made a few moves. It's also the moves that they haven't made yet, or pending or current free agents that played on the Lions last year. That we're going to be getting into all of that today. But before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got UJ.
Hello there, people.
Run Dog.
Yo.
And Connor.
Hello.
All right. So let's get into the first big signing of the day. Let's just jump right into it, huh? So yeah. The Lions, right when the negotiating window opened, the tampering window, whatever they call it, they signed a cornerback named Cameron Sutton to a 3-year deal worth $33 million with $22.5 million guaranteed. Rud Dog, let's go to you with the reaction to this signing.
Well, I mean, there's our free agency, baby. this was unexpected. One, this is the biggest signing Brad Holmes has done outside of the team yet. Like other than re-signing people that we've already on the roster. So, I mean, I like it because he didn't go for the high end guys like Roby and I forget the other Dean or anyone, because those guys you're going to have to break the bank for, but he found, you know, just off the top tier guy, like maybe even like I've seen him the third ranked corner in all free agency, some people. So, man, I love it. It's going to instantly upgrade our starting lineup at cornerback, which was our weakest position, and the guy is right in his ascent period where he's, I think it's his seventh, going to a seventh year in the league next year, and he his first 4 years he was rotation backup guy, and then the last 2 years he's been their starter. This is his third year going into being a starter. He's ascending, and he's been playing really good football. So yeah, no, I'm really excited about it.
UJ, let's get your thoughts.
Okay, well, hey, we can't. With this regime running the Lions right now, we can't just look at free agents for their talent and their skill. Now we have to look for culture fits. And I think that Campbell and Holmes have proven that culture fits are very important to what this team is about. And I think from everything I read about this guy, Cam Sutton, he is a perfect fit into this culture. And the Steelers, by all accounts, are really going to miss this guy. Most of the guys in the Steelers say he was the smartest guy on the field out there on any given play. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, from the he's obviously a good player. We're paying him premium money. But the culture fit, I think from here on forward, we have to constantly look at it. And they keep saying it, culture fit. When they go free agents or draft picks or whatever, you know, we're not just going to pick a guy because he might be the best player out there. He's got to fit in with what they're doing. And by all accounts, this guy totally fits the image of a Campbell team. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Plus, it just makes our secondary better. Plus, it gives us a little more options come draft time that we don't have to grab a cornerback, maybe, you know, number six pick. We got some room to play with here. So, yeah, I think it's a great signing.
Yeah, Connor, what do you think this means for the Lions, number six or number 18 even?
I've always been of the belief that I thought they were going to grab two cornerbacks. I do think this is their primary options, so I do think it makes six more interesting. Before this, I would have said Gonzalez was my guess for the pick at six, but now I don't know. I think the Will Anderson, Jalen Carter thing gets more interesting there. I do think some of their other decisions at linebacker have been interesting. So I don't know where Brad's going at six, to be honest. I think we could all agree that Will Anderson would be like the dream if he like fell to
us. Oh, yeah. But I don't think he's going to pass the Cardinals at three.
Yeah.
If they stay there.
Since that's not going to happen, and with Jalen Carter's, you know, situation, I really couldn't tell you. But I don't think it's cornerback anymore at six.
Mm. I would agree.
Yeah. What do you think, Big Z? I'm going to agree. I think signing this corner, don't forget we also signed Mac McClain for $870,000. We still have Jerry Jacobs and Okuda. I think there's some depth there. I really think the Lions are going to try to go D-line at number six, whoever the top of the board is there, or they trade back if they don't think whoever is at number six goes back. Unless they really highly value Christian Gonzalez, who I think has elevated himself above the rest of the cornerbacks in this class with his workout. But Sutton, too, also can play really well in the slot corner as well. So he is movable around, which I think is another piece of this that we don't want to lose. Now, PFF rate him really highly, but mixed emotions on, you know, how PFF grades things every once in a while. But, like, they had Will Harris rated kind of high, and I wouldn't, like, as the 56th best defender or something this year, and I highly disagree with that. But Sutton, like UJ said, really smart, good locker room guy. You know, he's not going to be any issue on that end. I think he's going to fit really well. I think he's a good second corner. The Lions need to still find that first corner.
He was CB1 for the Steelers.
Yeah, but supposedly his...
no one's out there paying him CB1 money, clearly. So thought the value around the league is that he's not a CB1.
Is that not CB1 money? My understanding is like the top guys are going to get like 12 to 15 a year, like the top, like the top, and he's just off that.
No, they're going to get higher than that.
Yeah,
really? In this free agency, Jamal Dean and Bradley are going to get more. Like what?
What's Jalen Ramsey making? He's making around 15, 16, something like that right now, I think.
20 million.
Oh, it's 20. See? There you go.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about is who we didn't get, but since you brought it up, Jalen Ramsey going to the Dolphins for not a lot, third-rounder and a lot of money.
Hey, before we move on, Z, can I just address what I think about if that's going to change our approach in the draft from this signing? I don't necessarily think it does. If they think Gonzalez is the right guy, I think they'd grab him at six because, the position is still very much – not settled. Like, what do we have after? Let's just say Sutton is CB1, and we can accept that. Like, who do you have after that that you can rely on besides maybe Jacobs? Like, I think I would not be surprised.
I still think they get a second cornerback somewhere, and not like in round six. You know, like
you just think not six. Okay, I mean, fair enough.
I mean, I don't know.
I would rather be at 18 personally. Honestly, grab like Porter or Witherspoon.
Banks. I wouldn't be mad at Gonzalez because I think that just instantly solves your cornerback issues completely, those two moves. And that becomes a position of strength all of a sudden.
I still want an elite defensive line, and I don't think we're an elite defensive line yet. Did you guys see that the 49ers went out and got Javon Hargrave
today?
I mean, talk about a ridiculous line. Their average defensive lineman makes $18 million on the San Francisco 49ers. And you know what? They're an elite defense every year because they build through the D-line. You can have the 49ers cornerbacks were some of the worst in the league last year, but it didn't matter because their D-line is beastly. And the only time their cornerbacks got beat is when the D-line didn't get home. I mean, they are a perennial NFC championship team nearly every year. And it's because of how they build their defense because they've gone through two defense coordinators. It doesn't matter. They have the talent up front that just gets after the quarterback in a passing league.
True.
And that's why I'm even bigger advocate for, I think he's solved the cornerback problem by building through the D-line. I've said that many times in this podcast, and
I like it.
I still want that. Now, we're getting there. We're making the right steps. But Houston is not a three-down defensive end, at least not yet. He's horrible in the run game, but he can get after the passer.
I'm curious.
I still think we need another D-end or D-tackle.
Z, yeah.
I agree.
With the Thor signing, which I know you have mixed feelings on Thor, what are your thoughts on linebacker as a need for this team?
Oh, it's still I still think it's a need, but maybe the Lions don't think so.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm just curious, like, you think they splash
maybe somewhere there? So TJ Edwards, who I think is a much better linebacker, got only $1 million more for a team that probably spent or overspent in the Bears. So Anzalone being paid like a top 16 linebacker in the league is
well, to be fair, you think everyone's
Played better last year. What's that, you, Jago?
No, to be fair, you think everyone's a better linebacker than Anzalone, so, you know.
Say that again, Ujay.
Everyone's a what?
A better linebacker than Anzalone.
But that's not true. I liked what Anzalone did last year. I just don't know if he's worth this money. And
I don't think that was a ridiculous contract, though. 3 years, $18 million.
I just don't know what other team in the league is paying him that money. So
I like it. He proved to me last year that he can be a good player. Like, he was fast. He flew around that field. He racked up tackles like crazy. He made impact plays, interceptions, fumbles.
He's not elite though, and that's what we need is an elite.
But he's not getting elite money either. And I like him being next to Rodrigo there. And don't get me wrong. If we could upgrade him, obviously I'm all for it. But I like upgrading through the draft. Like, if we were to draft someone like Jack Campbell or Drew Anderson or Trenton Simpson or any of the, like, go in the draft and get a guy. Don't, like, sign a guy you know who's a capable leader of your defense now, because you're probably going to put your main resources into that D line and the secondary. Because one thing I wanted to bring up is HE. This could have been on purpose for, you know, subterfuge or whatever, but he made it clear that what he said was they're going to build their defense through the D-line and the secondary and kind of glazed over linebackers. So I don't know if they put a whole lot of priority on linebacker as much as they do D-line and cornerback, which, I mean,
it's just, like, weird watching the Bears all of a sudden have a better linebacking core than us, like, overnight. It's just like a little frustrating.
Yeah, but their D line is still really bad. They have a lot.
I don't think the Bears.
Nobody can name a D lineman on their team right now.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, but there's obviously a lot of talk about the Bears. I mean, they traded away that number one pick for a lot, and they lucked their way into that number one pick too, which is hilarious. I would actually love to see if the Panthers flip that number one pick now for more than the Bears.
That would be so fun.
It depends on how much you value DJ Moore, who they also got in that trade as well.
Receiver-hungry team, pretty high.
Yeah, I personally don't think Justin Fields is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. But when you go out to Bears fans, just tell them that. I don't think Fields, and then they'll get mad. Yeah. Like,
it's funny, at the start of last year, though, a lot of them hated him until he started running. Suddenly, he's the GOAT.
They got a great running back there, a quarterback.
But yeah, I mean, do you guys think we look for another linebacker, or is Anzalone kind of, you know, we're just running it back again?
We definitely look for another one.
I'd say we look. Yeah,
have to look for
definitely.
I don't think in free agency though. I think we get another young guy who has high upside, maybe early, maybe late. Yeah. I think they're going to draft one.
Agree,
because Barnes is still an unknown.
So are
Barnes might ascend this year.
Is he an unknown? I feel like we have a general
Derek
idea
Barnes.
Now.
Sure,
shows flashes, but I don't think he's the player that, like, any of us were hoping he would end up being.
But do you remember DeAndre Levy before he put it all together? I mean, he wasn't exactly great, and then all of a sudden he decided he got the right mentality, put in the right kind of work, and he figured it out.
You know what helps DeAndre Levy become DeAndre Levy though? Dinobican Sue and Nick Fairley. When you have dominant defensive tackles in front of you, that helps define the linebacker position. Because if you have D tackles just getting pushed back, those linebackers they're only as good as I always think the linebackers are only as good as the players in front of them on the line. Which goes back to my main point. Build through the defensive line first, because if those guys are getting pushed back, then that doesn't then the linebacker is not freed up, and they're I mean, no linebacker in the entire NFL can take out a 300-pound offensive lineman.
True. The way I see it, if we took Gonzalez at six, I wouldn't be mad about it. But there's like four, at least four D linemen I value higher than him at six. Whether
how about
it's
this,
Carter, Anderson, or Kancey, or Tyree Wilson. Go
would
ahead.
Would you consider trading up three for Anderson?
No, I don't want
him. No, no, I don't think. No,
you don't think he's that good.
I mean, it depends on what we gave up, I guess. But I think we'd have to give up too much.
If it was like a Myles Garrett or. Who am I thinking? I mean, Chase Young. I thought was worth trading up for, but I wouldn't put Will Anderson in that class.
Chase Young's not a good example for trading up. That's a perfect example why I wouldn't trade.
Well, at the time, I'm saying now, right? In hindsight, no. But
that's a good example of why trading up is risky.
Well, yeah.
Oh, of course, it always is risky. The draft is always inherently risky.
No, I know, but like I like having more resources in Brad Holmes' hands. Like I want him to have more options. Like look what he's done with our middle rounds of these drafts. Like I want more chances at another Amon-Ra St. Brown, another Kirby Joseph, another Rodrigo. Like the more we trade away to make plays, but at the same time, if they decide he's the guy, I would not be mad for a second because he is a baller, and I would love to have that kid on our team.
For sure. I know the Bears trading out of that first spot does help open up somebody falling that maybe not would have another year, because there's three or four quarterbacks. Well, Lions could always take Richardson too, potentially.
Not at six, please.
A lot of people think it still.
Some people think.
A lot of people think we should
six.
Trade for that Jamoke over at the Ravens. Still, I don't get that.
Oh, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, like I see no logic whatsoever to getting that guy. He has proven nothing. That I like right now, we have a better quarterback on our roster because he's not a quarterback. He's like a running back who throws sometimes, and that's not what you win Super Bowls with.
Well, I don't know if everybody would agree with you necessarily, but outside of here, but I think I think all of us would rather not see us trade away two first rounders for Lamar Jackson.
Hell no.
Especially at the money that he's asking for, like Deshaun Watson guaranteed money. That Deshaun Watson contract really screwed up a lot of other teams negotiating going forward. Giving $200 million guaranteed to a guy that hadn't even played in a year and a half.
I think the quarterback market's only going to get worse, too.
Like of course it is.
It's never.
I'm glad we're not in it.
You never go backwards with the quarterback position. It only gets more expensive.
Right. So Jamal Williams is getting some interest outside of Detroit, like with the Jets. I think the Bengals as well. There's another team.
Here's my question, Z. Yeah. I got a big question for y'all. I think this is a big one. This is the main big remaining question is Jamal or Kaminsky, assuming we sign either. Who would you guys prefer we bring back?
Jamal or Kaminsky? Going back to my original point, I'm just going to call this the theme of the podcast. Built through the D-line.
You know, Z, I disagree with you.
But I'm biased because I played D-line. So.
No, but I agree with you, Z. Trenches, baby. Trenches, trenches, trenches. Build your team that way. Offense and defense.
That wasn't the question, though. It wasn't how do you build, because here's the thing. We have a lot of talent on this D-line already.
I answered the question.
It's a Kaminsky. No, you did. I'm saying, though, but the you reframed the question as you did it, though. It's not D-line versus running back so much, because here's the thing. What if we take Kancey or an elite D-lineman like Tyree Wilson or Anderson? Like, we already have a lot of talent along our D-line, like, especially with the pending status of Romeo Okwara, because if they still like him, then we have a lot already at that position of, like, DN slash, like, versatile pass rusher like Kaminsky. I'm just saying, and if we're going to add another one high in the draft, like, we're going to have to get rid of somebody. And it's – but then you got the chance to maybe get Jamal back? I don't know. To me, it's not as simple as – because I agree with the philosophy, D-line build through the trenches, but that's not really the question here. It's just which player do you think is more valuable to this team?
Are you guys going to buy the Jamal Williams mug that he's going to sell?
The dog?
Not if
dog.
He leaves.
Is it the like dog
Volkswagen
one?
Bug? What?
He's
not
got
if he's playing for another team.
He's got a mug.
Oh, a mug.
Like a –
bug.
What is? I'm trying to find a picture of it. My sister sent it to me, but it. Give me 2 seconds. You guys keep talking.
Why are you looking for the mug?
Well, you, Jay, answer my question.
Oh, well, I guess, but you threw it back at me really quick. I mean, I just think Kaminsky is more does more for the D line than Jamal Williams does at the running back position. I think he's more of an important piece.
I mean, Jamal.
We saw the defense last year play without him, and it was I thought a very different defense than when he was able to play, especially that
especially
second half
before
of the season.
Houston got activated.
He's versatile too. He could play in, he could play like the three technique or outside or the weak side defensive end, especially against a run. I just think
it's
as
tough.
A rotational piece, he's way more important than Jamal Williams, because of running, especially for what Jamal Williams is asking.
Jamal is for, running back.
Do
too.
We have an idea with
him? I gotta say. If having an elite running back, though, would be like an incredible add to the team.
Yeah.
I think that would make that offense unstoppable. Here's what the mug says, by the way. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug. Then there's a picture of a dog, signed Jamal Williams, the first swag. Kazakaki, I think is what that says. On sale soon.
So you all think Kaminsky, then? Is that unanimous?
Well, you, Jay, let's get it.
Well, I kind of agree for the same reasons Big Z said. You know, when he was out... couldn't play for a while, and he came back. His presence was instantly noticed. I mean, he just changed the whole dynamic of that line, just one guy, and I don't think you can understate that enough. And I do technically agree with Z, and as far as the line and stuff, I want the baddest ass line in the league, you know, seriously. Mm-hmm. And it would make everyone behind him better, so... Just from that logic alone, I would say, yeah, that's the more important piece. I love Jamal, and I hope we keep him, but he's not an elite back. He's a tough, super tough, hard-nosed back. He was incredibly valuable. He'd get that 1 yard every time you asked him, score that touchdown. I mean, guys like that are hard to find, too. But
emotional leader of the team.
Yeah, no. Like it's tough, man. I hope we keep both of them, personally.
Yeah, I do, too, if we can.
And Isaiah Bugs,
I just want to give him an anime box too. At some point. Yeah. I won't do that if he's on the Lions.
Isaiah Bugs is coming back though too on a 2-year deal worth up to $6 million. So
yeah,
like,
that makes me happy.
Fourth,
I like that
defensive
deal.
Tackle.
If Jamal stays with the Lions, I'll send him a box full of miniature anime characters. So there's your incentive, Jamal. Stick around. I'll send him a box of miniature.
Jamal Williams is a huge anime fan. And
3D printed anime characters.
Bring him anime stuff all the time.
If he sticks around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a thing. It's all over Lions media.
Do you even follow the Lions, Z? What the heck?
Yeah,
how did you know that?
Sorry, know that?
Jamal Williams collects tiny anime people.
Someone called it
like
Pokemon, and he went on a whole rant after a while.
I saw that.
There's literally a video on the Lions YouTube page of him opening
a whole
box full of anime
Aiden Hutchinson is also a big weeb.
Him.
He was in Japan at the anime convention, so that's the way this team is going. Jesus.
I guess if I focus more on the football than like the personality side sometimes.
Red Dog and I focus on it all. We are
That's right, Connor.
In all aspects of this team, you know? It's not just about the 4-3. Sometimes you got to get in these guys' heads.
That's right.
Hey, just for a second, back to Bugs though. Did anybody see his little interview afterwards? He looked like the happiest man in the world that he signed with the Lions again. Like I've never seen a guy happier. It was incredible.
That's awesome. I didn't see it, but I'll definitely watch it.
You wouldn't be happy playing for the Lions, UJ, especially
under Dan Campbell.
No
kidding. But no, I'm happy he's back. He was pretty effective down the stretch. And and by my understanding is that he's able to play the nose tackle and allows Lee McNeil to free him up a little more for some of his pass rush stuff. And it's allowed him to play his game better. So from that standpoint, he was a valuable re-signing for us, I think.
That's a good question, UJ, though. Would you guys have rather had Bugs or Kaminsky if you had a choice? But I guess the choice is made, but I thought Bugs was personally more important just because we only have one of him at that position right now.
Fair.
Yeah. Well, they obviously saw the value in it, so
like
we're
Kaminsky
keeping him.
There's other DNs on this roster. Because, like, one thing, UJ, about... the impact of Kaminsky, which I won't deny last year, is that when he was injured and when we were hurting the most, we didn't have James Houston yet out there. Like James Houston came later, and that's why I'm wondering if his emergence makes it easier to move on from Kaminsky at all. Like, you know, and same thing with Romeo coming back if they don't decide to cut him. Like, We have a lot of talent outside of that D tackle position at the edges. Like, it's they're going to have to cut someone probably.
Well, we'll see.
Right?
Especially if we draft one.
Well, you know.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, the Lions have a lot of former players besides the aforementioned ones. And the big ones out there, obviously, Jamal, DJ Chark, will he come back? TBD. I think the Lions want to see what the market said at him, and then they come back and decide yay or nay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if Chark comes back, but it's got to be at the right price. No doubt about it.
Right.
Will Harris, is he finally gone? I think Aurier is definitely gone. Deshaun Elliott, maybe.
I could see him.
I mean, CJ Gardner Johnson's a popular name that's been thrown out there this offseason because of the Aaron Glenn and the Saints connection. CJ Gardner Johnson playing for the Eagles last year, all the way to the Super Bowl, had a great year.
At safety?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm. I don't know about safety. That's interesting.
They'd have the money, would have to be there.
Well, because you got Kirby Joseph, Tracy Walker. Is there anyone else I'm missing? I guess that we aren't that deep there.
Elliott, but
he's not on the team. So, yeah, I guess we could probably at least use one.
Oh, and Tracy Walker coming off an Achilles, don't forget, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's probably. Fair.
So, I mean, Kirby. Or did you say Kirby? You said Kirby.
Yep.
So, I mean, Tracy Walker already was more consistent player of ours. It's still a little bit up and down. I wouldn't call him consistent. And
he was breaking out in that Eagles game until he got hurt.
But you consider that he's coming off an Achilles, I think I would rather have CJ Gardner Johnson over him. But Tracy Walker also just signed a big contract in the offseason, so he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But at the very least, it gives you more depth at the position. Although that'd be a lot of money to spend at the safety position.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if we make a blockbuster signing at safety, just because what we already have there. But I don't know. I mean, and honestly, I don't think we're going to make another blockbuster signing. I think we made it with Cam Sutton. Like, that's the biggest signing we've made in Brad Holmes' tenure here now. And, I expect further signings will be somewhat bargain bin-ish, or at least shrewd and somewhat targeted.
I don't know.
We're trying to bring some back of our own guys, like Evan Brown, for instance. He's getting a lot of interest around the league.
Right.
He's a very valuable, sixth offensive lineman, especially because he could play center or guard at a moment's notice. And do it fairly well.
He's excellent. Plus, there's next year, I think we're finally totally clear and free of the fallout of the Quinn Trisha era and Jamie Collins and what's all the damage that was done before Brad Holmes took over will finally be cleared. And next year, we're looking flush. I just don't think we're going to make another big signing. I think when I said that's our free agency, Cam Sutton, I don't expect another signing that level. I think that was going to be our big signing this period, and we'll find guys. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get another Kaminsky-like thing because we're not at the top of the waiver wire, but I think we'll sign some guys who for prove-it deals again, because the rebuild is not complete yet in terms of recovering the cap and all that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see us sign a guard if there's anybody out there. I
want us to draft Osiris Torrance.
Well, but we do need that right guard position. We need some help there.
We do. That is a position to me as well.
Big V will be coming back if he can stay.
And I could, if there's a free agent out there now, maybe
Glasgow.
Hey.
I do like the idea of Glasgow.
Interesting. It would be an interesting signing, no doubt.
I would love it. Could you imagine having our whole line next year be guys we drafted? That would be so cool.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, actually.
That would be interesting. It's not a great market out there for the guards. So
I'm thinking third round, easy. That's where you get your right guard this year. No later, probably, but
Gabe
do what
Jackson.
We do with Jonah Jackson. Third rounder.
Yeah, Gabe Jackson, Roger Saffold, Isaac.
Second or third
round
sounds
nice. Justin Pugh. Those are some of the top remaining.
Though Osiris Torrance at 18 would not piss me off in the slightest. Have you guys checked him out yet? Out of Florida? Massive road grader. Never gave up so much as a hit on the quarterback, I believe. Definitely not a sack. Absolute stud. I would not be mad for a second if we got that. Put in next to Sewell. We'd have the most dominant right side potentially in the entire league. And Ragnow on the other side. Oh, I'm getting excited.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Hell yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the Lions can do here at the remainder of free agency. It's still early. Aaron Rodgers hasn't even decided where he's going to play yet still.
Yeah, I heard it's like all but done with the Jets now.
Yeah, that was weird. Like Trey Wingo, who hosts like NFL Live on ESPN, said that Rodgers is a done deal, but then all the other insiders throughout the NFL have said it's not a done deal yet. So I thought that was an interesting little nugget from today.
Maybe he's just not sure if he wants to follow in Favre's footsteps for his entire career. Like, how weird is it? I hope he goes to the Jets and then somehow ends up on the Saints too. Like,
you mean the Vikings?
Favre
went to the Jets, then the Vikings.
It was the Saints that knocked him out. And
the Vikings are getting rid of a lot of their players. They're cutting.
If Rodgers leaves,
this is the Lions' division to take. If Rodgers leaves right now, in the division as of today.
Right.
What, Connor?
If Rodgers leaves, his final completed pass at Lambeau was to Kirby Joseph, right?
That's right.
That's awesome. That's like how Favre ended his career on an interception against the Saints.
It won't be career. I hope he leaves for that stat alone.
I'm with you, Connor. That'd be awesome.
I hope Kirby kept that ball, man.
Kirby's his daddy either way, but...
Absolutely.
Sorry. Anyways, continue. I just thought
that was
funny.
A good point.
Oh no, I don't remember what I was saying now.
In case you guys are wondering, because Big Z, they're about to have a baby, and his brain is quite addled right now, so he's not always thinking clearly. Just so you know,
Fair point.
I'm just, just making you aware of that. So when you hear him rambling incoherently.
I appreciate you filling the listeners in.
Yeah, we're all excited about little Z.
What to expect when you're expecting.
Yeah. Just a reminder, too, if the Lions do cut Aquara, they save $7.5 million. If they cut Big V, they save $6 million. They're 14 under right now, 14.7 under, but they also have to leave a little room for draft picks as well.
Which we have a lot of.
Yeah.
High ones, anyway.
Right. No fourth rounder.
Yep.
To address the running back, we did address it already. We re-signed our boy
Craig
Netflix.
Craig Reynolds.
Craig Reynolds, which makes me feel pretty good. We obviously need to add one, but at least we know we got a couple decent ones on the roster locked up now for the year.
I'm not convinced that the Lions believe Swift is a long-term option there.
They would have re-signed him by now. Like, they would have
fifth-year option.
I'm very curious if they address running back one this.
Bijan at 18?
If he's there at 18, do it. Pull the trigger.
I think he's worth
it. What would you do if he got drafted at 6 by us?
I'd say
too high.
I'd be so excited.
6 is too high.
6?
It's too high. It goes against all my philosophy of drafting, but when you draft an exciting player like that, it's hard not to get excited. Not like drafting Hawkinson at 10. That's far more exciting. Not that I would be like, okay.
Well, let's just draft a tight end at 6 and call it a day.
Only if it's the kid out of Georgia, the second stringer or whatever his name is.
I'm surprised there's a player
who blew up the combine.
You would be okay with at 6.
I'm not okay with it. I would be so upset.
The second string tight end? Darnell Washington?
Yeah, the kid who blew up the combine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's the only one who has the metrics I would be okay with, but I don't want a tight end. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, we'll wrap up this podcast. Just wanted to dive into the first day of – this is really the first day of free agency, although it's technically not. You can't sign the contract until the 15th.
All be settled by Wednesday anyway.
Yeah. So, Cam Sutton, while all these deals are reported, they're not actually official until the signing day, which is the 15th. Also, like that Lamar Jackson thing, for instance, teams can't start talking with with him until Wednesday as well on the 15th.
So
this
quick
is just
question.
A tampering period. It used to be like illegal, but now they made it legal. When it starts, the Lions have a deal in place already. So I don't know like where they draw the line on these things sometimes.
It's probably too hard to regulate, and they're like, whatever, just have your 2 days.
The line is literally the signature. Like, as long as the signature is not on the paperwork, you haven't broken the rules. But do you guys I know UJ's answer. I'm just curious. Do you think the Lions will even talk to Lamar? Because some people I've heard, I was just listening to Woodward Sports, and there's a couple of guys on there that are like freaking out, like why we aren't like extending an offer, why we're not even talking.
Woodward Sports sucks.
And like, I'm just
they can't until Wednesday. So
I'm saying though, like they're like, they can't understand why we would.
They'll do their due diligence,
curious.
I think, and at least talk to him, but I don't think it's going to be a serious.
You think they will?
I don't think it's going to be like a serious.
I just
offer.
Think financially, it's
I do not think
absurd.
They will.
I don't think they will either. I don't think he fits what we're building here in the slightest.
I'll say,
but
they'll at least have a conversation about it if they don't talk to him. Like, there will be some sort of internal, like, just to say, just
yay,
to
nay.
Check the box, you know. But I don't think it's going to get as far
that
as, like, offering him anything.
I could agree with that. I agree. I don't think
they
will.
He's a GM. That's his job. Like, they're going to at least examine it with their team.
Unless I'm missing something about his tool set, does he pass better than I'm aware of? I don't know.
I suppose. Because I've seen some stats out there that he was more elite in certain situations than like Joe Burrow and stuff like that. But I would call Joe Burrow a better passer. The one argument you keep hearing is that he was MVP and he has no...
one time.
He's never had receiver, like a good receiver in Baltimore, which is partially true. They really have not invested in the slightest in wide receiver besides... Hollywood Brown, who was hurt all the time. So that would be the argument for, but he does run a lot. And
coming off like an ACL or something, right?
I call it a made-up injury to get himself the free agency healthy. Because everybody in the building is like, why is he not playing? This injury takes like 2 weeks to heal from. And all the Ravens people are like, they publicly said, like, we don't understand why Lamar isn't playing, but he's got to do his thing, I guess. Like, he's his own person. That's the other big thing in this, too. Lamar Jackson does not have an agent. He's representing himself.
His mom is his agent, I heard.
Oh. Well, either
way. She doesn't have an agent.
Yeah, he doesn't have an agent. And a lot of the articles written out there says, like, that's also hurting his negotiating power because... he's very stubborn in his value, and I don't know if he's navigating as well as he could be with an agent. But that's just what I've read. I've seen no true insights to these things.
Man, I'd be just so surprised. That's where I stand. If they make a move on him, I will just be shocked because you just had Jared Goff do everything they asked for him to do this last year and more. And I honestly think he's a better quarterback. Not necessarily a better player, not necessarily or whatever. Like, he's not a better athlete, obviously, than Lamar. But, like, the quarterback doesn't need to be a runner. Like, not if he's doing his job right. And, like, usually, like, as long as it's a bonus to have legs and you use it like Aaron Rodgers always did, like, or whatever. But, like, if you're just a runner, first and foremost, your lifespan for one in this league will be shortened dramatically. Like, I wouldn't even want to sign what's his name from the Bills right now. Like,
Josh
he
Allen.
Runs far
you
too much.
Sign
and takes
Josh
way
Allen?
Too many. He takes too many hits. I don't think he'll survive another 3 years in this league. Did you see how many hits
Josh
he took
Allen
just against us party. Alone?
Josh Allen is not Lamar Jackson size. Josh Allen's much bigger.
I'm not comparing him to Lamar. In this league, if you rely on your legs too much, you are putting a deadline on your career. It's just a fact. Look at what Andrew Luck, he was a burnout in this league because he put too much on his legs. Like, and he was a good pocket passer, and he just didn't have the tools yet.
Andrew
but
Luck's
like,
not out of this league because of his running ability. He's out of this league because their offensive line was terrible, and he was one of the most
But because he had to rely on his legs. That was the tool set that kept him successful early on, just like Fields over in Chicago. That's a terrible strategy.
Andrew
like
Luck running, is not running 20 times.
Look, what's the shortest lifespan at position in this league? What's the shortest lifespan position?
Running back.
Yeah. Okay, so why do you want your quarterback to be a running back? So you can make sure his career gets ended early? Look at what Tom Brady is doing.
It's not a one-to-one.
He played into his 50s almost.
I mean, and even running quarterbacks aren't getting tackled at the same rate that a running back is.
It doesn't matter. You're getting hit far too often if you're running a lot. Even like Mahomes has sold his body for a Super Bowl.
You think Mahomes has 3 years left?
Jalen Hurts is kind of like the MVP of that Super Bowl, and he ran for 3 touchdowns.
Look at who? Hurts? Yeah, Hurts. I mean, Hurts put it on his legs. It's a nice tool to have. Don't get me wrong. If you got the option, obviously you want a guy who can do it. But if you do it too much and you rely on it too much, you are hurting your chances of longevity in this league. And that's just plain and simple. It's a fact. Because guess what? There are 11 guys every week trying to take your head off, and they're going to put damage on your body. Like, I don't think Mahomes is going to put a career in like Tom Brady. Like, he's not going to have that longevity because he takes too many shots.
It's hard to say. I mean, to this point in his career, it's been better.
I think Mahomes is the best by the end.
I'm not saying better or worse. I'm saying length.
No one has a career as long as Tom Brady. Like, even other pocket passers.
No, you're right. He is the exception, really. But
so that's a tough case to make.
I think Lamar Jackson's a better quarterback than some people give him credit for. Like, he's not just a running quarterback.
Yeah, he definitely has an arm.
Trade off.
He has an arm. That's true. But Mike Vick had an arm, and he wasn't a great quarterback. He was a good player.
Greatest player in Madden history, Madden 04. So
he's got that
true. If you just ran back like to the one and then loop around, you get the 99-yard touchdown run.
I just don't think Lamar Jackson is. I don't think that's what the Lions are looking for right now in the quarterback, especially for the price it's going to take to give up for him. And the Lions are still going to have the dead cap money for Jared Goff too.
Jared Goff's a better quarterback, so
it's not feasible financially.
I don't know if the Ravens want Jared Goff either. So I just don't that seems to go against how they – although they hired a new offensive coordinator and such. So maybe they are heading a different direction with their offense.
I think they would love to have Jared Goff, someone who would actually pass.
We're spending a lot of time
defenses.
On Lamar Jackson, who's definitely not coming to Detroit. Yeah. So I think we should move on. Great.
I don't think he's coming.
Hey, all right.
And yeah, I was wrapping up the podcast.
I think we'll revisit this. Last thing. We'll revisit this later because I think this is a fun one.
Christ.
I want to – Con, it's the last thing. We'll address this category later. The most wasted breath category of the offseason. I think it's going to be Lamar, but I'm curious. Like, what do you guys think? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how many of these theorizing moments have wasted like hours upon hours of podcasts and writing articles and stuff? Anyway, well, I just think that's a category. I think we should vote on at the end of the offseason.
On that note.
Go ahead, Z. Bring us home.
What was the category?
The wasted breath topic. I don't know how to phrase it. The wasted breath, the hot air topic of the off season, where it was just nothing but smoke, where there was literally nothing there, and it was talked about ad nauseum for basically days worth of content online.
The fact it took you 45 seconds to describe the category means I don't know if we should have
that itself might be the answer.
This is the top nominee.
Yeah. This conversation we're having right now is already the winner. Congratulations.
Yeah. Winner.
Oh. Chicken dinner, baby.
All right, let's wrap up this podcast.
On that note.
And we will depending on how the news shakes out the rest of the week, we might be back later this week or else back next week. We'll see how the news shakes out. If it's small little moves, we can recap that next week. If it's some bigger ones out there, we'll be back with an instant reaction. But Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the Lions free agency signings. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to Sideline Report for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate them. Go check out sidelinereport.com. Thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
All right. Thank you, our producer, Kid J. Always crushing it. behind the scenes. And also, thank you to our listeners. Always greatly appreciate you. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get a podcast, download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. And then, last but not least, as always,
go.
Field, a charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rah, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.